Thanks, Umberto. Today I'm going to be presenting a portion of my master's research on the short-term effects of residue removal on three sites throughout Kansas. And just a point, I mentioned corn stover here. I will be referring to it as residue for the rest of the presentation. Brief outline. So just to start out, simple definition of what crop residue is can be defined as the non-grain portion of crops remaining in the field after it's been harvested. After the grain's been harvested, residues provide many benefits to the soil. They act as a shield and prevent erosion from shielding the soil surface from the impact of raindrops and also wind. Residues also are a principal source of soil organic matter, and this provides a carbon source for soil biota and also can indirectly and directly increase macroalgae formation, which can improve many soil properties, aeration, density, and that can affect root growth, etc. And also, residues can increase soil moisture by preventing the evaporation of water from the soil. So the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007 set up a renewable fuel standard, and this basically mandates production of renewable fuels by year, and it mandated an annual production of 21 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol in particular and other advanced biofuels by 2022. And the USDA and the EPA have estimated that 4.3 to 5.5 billion gallons are come from crop residues. So this leaves the question, how much residue can be removed without negatively impacting soil properties? And previous research has shown that the impact can be site and soil specific. Leaves my objective, which is to determine short-term impacts of crop residue removal on soil physical properties from three locations throughout Kansas. And in this study, I'm defining short-term as around 1 year, actually a little over 1 year. It's a map of Kansas, my study site, overlaying on a precipitation map. A little bit hard to see, but here's Ottawa in the east-central part of Kansas receives higher precipitation than the sites in Colby and Hugoton in the western portion of Kansas. Some more detail on my sites. As you can see, they are similar in that they're all in continuous corn production. However, sites at Colby and Hugoton are irrigated while Ottawa is grain fed. And additionally, sites in Colby and Ottawa are in no-till production while Hugoton is strip-tilled. You can see the differences in soil types throughout the sites and also the precipitation differences. So this project was initiated in March 2009. Treatments consisted of manually removing 0, 25, 50, 75, and 100% of the residue remaining on the field after it's been harvested. The treatments are arranged in a randomized blue box design, replicated three times at each study location, and the plot dimensions are 6 by 6 meters. The data we collected bulk density samples at 0, 5, and 5 to 10 centimeter soil depths using the core method. We also collected wet aggregate stability samples at the surface 0 to 5 centimeters. We analyzed this using the wet sieving method. And additionally, we have soil moisture and soil temperature measurements from the soil surface 0 to 5 centimeters using Stevens hydrocodes. And important to note that for the hydrocodes, we can only measure the 0, 50, and 100% residue removal treatments, some budgetary issues. They analyzed the crop mix and SAS, set an alpha of 0.05. And also, I will only be presenting the data from Colby due to time issues, and I will mention results from the other study locations. starting off with bulk density, as you can see, there is no statistical difference between treatments at both total depths. These measurements were taken 6/9/2010, so a year and a few months after initiation. We got similar results at the other study locations. Looking at wet aggregate stability, this is mean weight diameter. It's on the y-axis of the water stable aggregate. The x-axis is residue removal. As you can see, for Colby, we experienced a decrease in mean weight diameter of water stable aggregates after 25% removal. So everything over 25% was decreased from 0 to 25% removal. This trend was observed at the other study locations, but there were no significant differences. Going further in depth into aggregate stability, this data for this table is pretty busy, but on the x-axis we have the percent water stable aggregates, and on the y-axis we have different size fractions obtained during the wet sieving process. And the main point of this graph, or this chart, is that there's a greater percentage of water stable aggregates at the lower removal rate, specifically 0 and 25% removal, compared to the 50, 75, and 100%. Likewise, looking at smaller diameter size fraction, we have a higher proportion of water stable aggregates from the high residue removal rate, which can be explained by the decrease in protection of the soil surface from residue removal. This trend was repeated at other sites, but the effects were less pronounced. Going to soil moisture, remember just in the 0, 50, and 100% treatment, you can see that removal rates above 0% reduce soil moisture throughout the growing season. In fact, it seems to be more pronounced as you went into the season towards the end in September when the crops would be harvested. These results, or this trend, was observed in Hugoton, but in Ottawa there's no apparent trend. Soil temperature, you can see that the higher removal rates have a higher average soil temperature than the low removal rates for most of the months. And results were significant in June, July, and September. These results were also observed the trend was observed in Hugoton. There's no apparent trend in Ottawa, I guess. So some concluding remarks that we obtained from this study. We observed the adverse effects of corn residue removal on soil properties after 1 year removal. The residue removal rate greater than 25% reduced the size of water stable aggregates in Colby, actually in all sites. Rates greater than 0% reduced moisture and increased temperature at the soil surface for the magnitude of impacts seemed to be greater at Colby and Hugoton than at Ottawa, and this could be explained possibly by differences in soil texture and precipitation amounts. And resulting data may help establish more soil-specific allowable levels of corn residue removal for renewable energy production. I'd like to thank the following people: Kansas Corn Commission for project funding, and at this time I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions? I've only visited your site, I don't remember if I was
on a moisture basis, we can only measure the 0, 15, 100% removal. So it seemed anything over 20 or anything over 0 seemed to decrease soil moisture. So possibly somewhere in between 0 and 50%, there's a kind of a cutoff point. But anything, yeah, they might have to apply more moisture if they're taking off half the residue.
So in addition to the nutrients that they would lose, then they're up to gut. They're also going to lose some water out of the field.
Yep.
Okay.
Time for one more question.
And your water table aggregates, were those specific amendments by fractions that you measured, were those previously have been water table aggregates of that for the best fraction measure?
Yes, that was after the wet sieving process and the nested sieves.
Okay, so that was, okay, so that percent sample hydrous current versus size fraction.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are just the macro aggregate size fraction.
Clarification, but this is a short term. Hey, 1 year, I mean, it's for me. We need to have a long-term study to, conclude this study and the impact of the river.
I would raise a question there. You indicated you started the study in March of 2009.
Correct.
And then a lot of your measurements were in 2010. So the residue that was removed in the imposition of treatments would have been residue from the 2008 contract?
Yes.
And then you would have grown apple plots, corn in 2009,
yep.
And then left everything back on.
No, we
repeated the
treatment.
So you removed residue twice?
Yes.
Residue from the 08 crop, residue from the 09 crop, and not in the interpretation.
This took that off in the sediment or the evening.
It continues to take it off in the sediment. You're setting your data. The other question I had is your study also going to any of the nutrients now, or just the water and the different foods?
We haven't assessed yet any nutrient effects on this. We do have some carbon data still being processed. So. This is continuous farm.
How did you, what's the procedure you need to determine the different person that you're going to remove?
Well, our plot sizes are 6 by 6 meters, 20 feet by 20 feet, so we're able to partition each plot into quadrants. So for example, for 75% removal, we would set up the quadrants and remove 3 of them and then redistribute the remaining residue over the rest of the plot. So kind of on a soil surface cover basis per plot.
Okay.